following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Exploring the Hurdles of Preparation, where I will talk about the different running events in track and the conditioning it takes to train for them. So let's get started. Hello, guys, and welcome back to the world of track. Now, today for episode 3, we'll be talking about the 100 meters and the 200 meters. The 100 meters is just the straightaway on the track, and the 200 meters is the curved part and the straightaway. And the 100 meters is probably the most popular event in track. Like, anyone who doesn't know much about track just only knows, like, oh, there's, like, you run the straightaway. That's it. Like, you just try to see how fast you can run the straightaway. And I know, like, a bunch of people my freshman year, when they first started track, the first event that they wanted to do was the 100. Because everyone thought, like, oh, it's, like, the easiest track event. All you have to do is just run in a straight line to the end, and that was it. So people would, like, always try the 100 and the 200 meters. Which, I'm not going to lie, I do think that it is, like, on the easier side of the event, but not everyone is good at it. It's, like, a 10% chance that you're going to be good at that event. Because you need, like, to have a really fast twitch. And, like, the people who are just naturally good at it, like easily stand out from everyone else. And I just want to talk a little bit about how, like, body types, like, for sprinting body types, and there's long distance body types. Like, for sprinting body types, you're built of muscle, like, you're full of muscle. And then the long distance people, like, the ones who, like, run miles and miles and marathons and stuff like that, they're just really skinny, and they don't have, like, a lot of fat on them. Like, they don't have a lot of muscle either. Like, for us, our cross-country team doesn't lift like the track people do. Like, for us, like, since I'm in track, like, we lift 2 times a week, and it's double, either, if it's not our body weight, it's, like, more than our body weight, and it's pretty hard. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, like, lifting does, like, it makes you feel so much better, and it does help you, like, run faster, but it's not for everybody. And that's why cross country people, they only, like, long distance cross country people, they only run. They don't lift at all. So now I'm just going to kind of go into what the 100 is and, like, what are good times for the 100. Now, obviously, I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of people know, like, the 100 is just a straightaway. And for good times for the 100, for girls, like, in college, I would say 11 to 12 seconds is a good time for girls. And then for boys, it's 10, like, 10.5, and then high nines, 9.9 is, like, really, really good. And Usain Bolt ran, wait, actually, let me check what he ran. Usain Bolt has run a 9.5, which is obviously the world record. Like, it's the fastest. Me, personally, I do not think that will be beaten. Or, yeah. No, yeah, I don't think it will be beaten. But, and he held the world record for the 100 and the 200, but recently the 200 was broken by Noah Lyles. And that is just, like, insane. Like, to be able to run that fast is, you have to be, like I said, like, born with it. So now the 200. The 200 is the curved part of the track and a straightaway. Now, most people, I would say this is one event that is probably on the easier side, because you need to be explosive, but at the same time, you also have time to build up till you get to, like, the finish line. Like, you have time to pass people, and this is also, like, a little bit more endurance, so it's easier to, like, train for, I guess, because the 100 is just all explosive. Like, you just do a bunch of drills, like, in the gym, like, lifting most of the time. And the 200 is also a really interesting race because it just because you start off winning the first curve does not mean you're going to win, like, the race. People always get, like, there's a saying in track, it's like hawked down, like, that's when, like, you're winning, but then all of a sudden, like, someone from last place, like, just runs fast and, like, tracks you down, then they win the race, and it's always, like, really interesting to watch happen. I'll talk about training for the 100 and the 200. Since they are so similar, when you run track, you usually end up running both. Like, Usain Bolt ran the 100 and the 200. Sha'Carri Richardson ran the 100 and the 200. Like, most famous Olympic athletes who do the 100 also do the 200. So training for it, you're training for both. And training for the 100 and the 200 is just running a lot of, I would say, 200s, like, repeats, and then you're just lifting and then working on plyometrics, working on, like, getting out of your blocks super fast because it, like, there's no room to mess up when you're getting out of your blocks. These two events are what you need blocks. Oh, I don't know if I've explained what blocks are, but blocks are the... So blocks are the device that help athletes brace their feet against the start of the race so they don't slip out as they stride forward. This is why they start down, like they start like kind of, they put their hands behind the lines and then they start like hunched down and then their feet are like pressed up against the blocks. So when they push out, they're like pushing out as a diagonal position. And this just helps them, like, get into their speed faster. So, these two events require you to use the blocks and be really good at using them. Because if you even mess up, like, a little bit, it can affect your time so much. Like, it all just depends on how you get out of the blocks. I think that the 100 meter is probably the most watched race in the Olympics. Just because, like... it's so quick and it's so, people get so like excited to see like how fast you can run, like how many miles per hour you can run the 100 at, because it's like your top speed and you're just running that for 100 meters. So one of my favorite Olympic runners is Sha'Carri Richardson, and her story is really crazy because she is a 100 and 200 meter runner from LSU and she is on fire. Like, every time she steps onto the track, she not only looks amazing, but she runs, like, amazing as well. And so the last 2 years have been really hard on her because her mom passed away and she got in trouble for using marijuana. So she had to get kicked out of the races and she wasn't allowed to compete, which was really, like, it was really sad because it wasn't like she was using it as an performance enhancement. It was, she was using it as a coping method. So that's why this year when she like won the race against Jamaica, it was a really big deal because last year or maybe like 2 years ago, she had raced them and she completely like just got smoked by them. It was really sad because everyone thought she was going to do amazing against them and even win, but it just looked like she hadn't trained at all and she just wasn't able to keep up. So this year when she raced them again, she was so like, she was back in her like groove, I would say. It was just really impressive because she like, it shows that she like worked really hard to get back to where she used to be at, because she is an amazing runner and I think she has like an amazing gift. Like, not everyone could be like that, but I just think that she's really amazing and it's so inspiring how she just got back out there and was able to run the way she did, because usually when athletes hit their breaking point or like something happens traumatic in their life, they just quit. it's really hard to get started back up again. Again, like, with, like, all the mental, like, health stuff. It's, like, track is, like, really mental. And it's just the way that you... It's just how much you can take mentally, I guess. And sometimes running does help take away, like, stress. Because you're just, like, forgetting everything right when you're running. And especially for that little amount of time that she is running for. Like, she's running for, like, maybe 20 seconds for the 200. 10 seconds for the 100. It just helps so much. Like, just that little time running helps you so much. So, since I have run pretty much every event that there was in track, because I was able to explore a lot during high school and find my event that suited me, I did run the 100, 1 in 200. And I would say that I could have easily done the 200 and, like, been really good at it, but... My coach, so after I had run the 300 hurdles, the 200 is always the event that goes after, so there was, like, maybe 1 minute rest in between, and my coach just wanted to see me run the 200, which I was not prepared to run at all. I didn't even know I was running. She just threw me in and told me to run, and I got last place because I was so tired already. I ran, like, a 30-second 200, which was really bad, and I just... It really discouraged me. I was like, yep, I'm never running the 200 again. I don't even want to try it. But I always run them for practice, and I have gotten faster times running in practice than I have in that one race, which was, like, 2 years ago, but still, like, it just really discouraged me. Like, I don't know why my coach put me in it right after I had run a race. But that was my experience running the 200. Now, the 100, like I said, when you're first starting track, everyone just wants to try the 100. I went into track thinking I was going to be, like, running miles and stuff like that. So, as soon as, like, I had done my first mile, like, around, like, in a race, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was like, yeah, this is too long. Not for me. I get so bored running around, like, wondering what to think about. So, I just wanted to try the 100. I was like, yeah, the 100 looks so easy. Like, I'll just train for it. And... hopefully I'm good, because, like, I have a good kick at the end of all my races, like, when I'm running miles. So how hard can the 100 be? Well, I was really wrong, because as soon as, like, I started running the 100, like, when I first, like, got behind the line and everything, I barely knew how to use blocks. Like, I was really bad at using blocks. I was still learning, but I was like, okay, like, whatever, like, blocks don't matter. Like, I don't need these. But I still use them because it just looked weird if I didn't. And I guess, like, I wanted to be like, oh, I know stuff about track. So I would use the blocks. And as soon as the race started, like, the guy shot the gun in the air, everyone got out of their blocks way faster than me. I was really embarrassed. I was like, what? So I had to catch up. I want to say, like, I did not get last. Like, I actually did pretty good, like, for, like, getting out of my blocks last. I finished the race third to last, which is still bad, but, like, it was way better than what had happened with the 200. And so I just, like, figured, like, okay, mid-distance is for me. Sprinting is not, like, I do not have that explosive speed. Maybe if I trained more at it and, like, I was more consistent with it, then I would be better. But I was just like, yeah, no. Like, I'm not going to do the 100. I'm not going to do the 200. I'll just stick to the 300 hurdles, and I'll just stick to hurdles overall. Like, I do run the 100 hurdles, but then again, like, I am not the best at that. Like, you have to be very exact with your steps, and sometimes I just forget to count. Like, I just forget what I'm thinking about when I'm running. So maybe, in the future, I might pick up doing the 100 again, because if I am doing the 100 hurdles in college, I can only get faster and I can only improve my time for the 100. So maybe I will be a sprinter in the future. I don't know the future, but I'll just take it day by day, and I'll see where it leads me to. Anyways, that was all for today's podcast. I hope you learned a little bit more about the 1 and 200 meters.